brought in the last of the wheat and the last wire-tied bale that my father made so many years ago. And it's not quite the size of the ones that we used to bring in from the field. But anyway, I hope that you have had a good harvest if you're from the farm. And all of us are so dependent upon those who are in agriculture. So that, you know, a lot of people in town think that the food was grown in the supermarket. But I don't think that's true, is it? Anyway, welcome today to our Thanksgiving service. This morning, let's just again ask God's blessing. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who came down. And may you come down and fill our building, our hearts, Lord, the sanctuary of your people. Father, may you minister through your word and by your spirit. And Father, we pray, bless our hearts as we think of what you have done for us. We thank you that we can, in gratitude, kneel before you and worship you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I was thinking about Christmas as a celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Easter is a celebration of Christ's death and resurrection to bring us new birth and new life in Him. Thanksgiving is saying thank you to God for His daily provisions for us. The ingather of the harvest as we know it. We know that we thank God because of His sovereignty. God, although the world is upside down, God has not been dethroned from His heaven. And we bow and worship Him. We thank God for family. You think of the children that God has allowed you to have. We thank God for the church family, which we worship together today. We thank God for community, which comes out of the word of communion. It draws us together in fellowship. We thank God for finances, don't we? We can't get along without them somehow. And so we thank God for jobs. We thank God for fellowship on the journey here below. We thank God for friendship to spur us on to love and to good works. And so we work not to be saved from our sin, but we work because we are saved from our sin. It should motivate us if we know the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. His work was complete, but then we should want to serve Him with all of our hearts. And so that's why we work. And we don't work to earn our salvation because it's already been paid for. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and giving of thanks is a major theme throughout Scripture. Historically, we credit the Pilgrim Fathers in America for being the ones who began and initiated the harvest and the supply that God gave to them in those early years. But there was no transport planes to come. There were no transport trucks to truck it in from other countries. And there were no trains to bring in the supply. And they were thankful that they had a great harvest in their gardens and in their fields. And for winter supply, they had to have it all together. And so There's the thanksgiving of the now. There's the thanksgiving of the New Testament and the Old. The Old and the New Testament really are an overflow of God's of gratitude to God, thanksgiving to Him for His provision for us. But the pilgrims were not the early birds, so to speak, that brought the Thanksgiving celebration. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and if you have your Bibles or don't have your Bibles, it reads like this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. It says, pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the King James rendition of that verse. It is God's will that we are a thankful people, that we are a thankful church, that we are a thankful family. And now from the Old Testament, we've heard the Psalms that Ken has read. But in Psalm 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. That sounds like continual thanks, doesn't it? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually on my lips. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. We can't even boast enough about the Lord. We can't even adequately bring thanksgiving to God as we should. And then it says, the humble shall hear and be glad. And then it is corporate. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Thanksgiving overflows from the individual to the community, to the corporate praise that comes from our lips together. And God wants to hear that. And when we come together and praise Him, there's something very heavenly about that happening. Judy and I had the wonderful experience of being in Philadelphia among 12,000 people. And because Philadelphia is known for their singing and their parts because of their Mennonite background, and they are able to sing. Those 12,000 people sang, and it was so overwhelming that we could not sing. It was very heavenly and very divine. Singing is something that God has brought us into. Today is set aside as Thanksgiving Sunday, or this Thanksgiving holiday. It is often a time of feasting, and it should be. In the Old Testament, we find that they gathered together all of Israel and they gave thanks, but they also rejoiced and feasted and praised and sang to the Lord. So Thanksgiving is thought of as a season associated with the harvest and with its abundance. Truly, as Canadians, and perhaps especially as we are Canadians, and especially as we live in an excellent farming community, that we should be a thankful, gratified people because of what God has done. I've lived in this community, and you correct me, but in all the years that I've been associated in this community, this great agriculture-centered community, I don't remember one total failure of a crop. Any corrections? We don't. There are years that we can look back and say, well, there was some drowning out, and yet there was a crop. There are some years that were dry, and yet often the dry years brought on a great harvest. A note in our daily bread, and pardon the year, from 2002, Richard DeHaan said, as he drove through a small Pennsylvania community village church, had this sign on their bulletin board, pray for a good harvest, but keep on hoeing. I think that's good advice. Pray for a good harvest, but keep on hoeing. We are to pray that God will move in people's hearts to respond to God's goodness, to Jesus giving his life for us, to give us new life because our sins have been forgiven. And when we enter into that kind of relationship, that is the spiritual harvest. As we share God's word together, God can speak to people's hearts. And we know the message of forgiveness and salvation is given out here in MOPS, in Awana, at people's workplace, to neighbors at Bethel Bible Camp, and they're rebuilding that main building. And if Jesus came back suddenly, I guess somebody else would get a chance to use it. But we can't take those funds to heaven anyway. So it's a great thing to build in preparation for the harvest that God wants to bring in from this community and communities around about. And many communities have been blessed by the Bible Camp ministry, not only of Bethel, but of Pemda River and Nakama and other places that preach God's word faithfully to little children and their hearts are changed. How many of you came to faith in Christ when you were small? At camp? At Bethel Bible Camp? Yeah, in 1948, 49, I believe is the year that I trusted the Lord out at camp. And there were so many kids there that year, they had to bring in granaries. I think there was 149 kids, and they had to make straw ticks. Let me tell you, that's not recommended for for today's society. Anyway, that's where I came to faith in the Lord Jesus. So we want to magnify and glorify God in worship, in our church, in our community, in our province, in our country, to the ends of the earth, we're called to take this wonderful message because there is only one God and there's only one way into God's presence, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and that place is in heaven. It's not here on earth. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. His promise is he's coming back, and just because things get looking kind of dismal and dark, it only makes us realize that his coming may be even sooner than we expected, or maybe we should be more expectant of his arrival. Yeah, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. So he has made a promise. He said to his disciples when he went to the cross that he would rise again. Did he? He kept his promise. They came to the tomb with spices to anoint his body, but he wasn't there because he had risen. I've been in that tomb and saw the empty stone bench. He was crucified with the wicked and raised with the rich in his death. And when I turned around, it says, he's not here. He has risen. And we serve a living and truly alive Savior. So Christendom doesn't dispute that Christ is coming back. All of Christendom look forward to his coming. The only speculation is some of us differ on different time, the different time of his arrival. But we should all be waiting and watching for that arrival. It could be any time. I want you to turn in your Bibles to another great psalm. It's Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and you'll pardon the fact that I'm using the King James Version because I actually memorized it in the King James, and it sticks better in my head that way. And I noticed that if you listen to Dr. Jeremiah, he uses the King James. So there are a number of translations, some to make it easier for little or younger children to understand or for other reasons. But we have God's word in our language and we give God thanks. It is his word. So this psalm has four significant areas that we need to take note of. Now, if you bought a life insurance plan and paid a lot of money for it, you would expect to have to read the detail, the small print, to know what you were getting, right? Well, this is God's life insurance, assurance plan, and he has some fine writing that you need to take note of. But there are four major categories in this psalm. And so we'll start out and we'll see them quite immediately. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Blessing of God comes from within. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let me tell you, as you get older, that forget not should be underlined many times. Because, oh, did we forget anything this morning? I think we probably did. I don't think we forgot to put the dogs out, though. Anyway, we often forget, but we often forget what God has said in his word. And so we need to go and review. It says, and forget not all his benefits. Those are the fine writings of this contract that he has made to us. And the first major point is, who forgives all your iniquities? Oh my goodness. That's pretty wonderful, isn't it? If we come to him in repentance and faith, he forgives all those terrible things that I did when I was young. He forgives me now, and my sins have been forgiven into the future. And think of all the sins that the world has committed. If anyone or everyone came to Jesus Christ, he would and could forgive them because of who he is. In our study of 2 Peter, it says in chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. It's just that we don't live long enough. But he is not willing. It's God who's not willing that any should perish. He may be waiting for one of your relatives to come to faith in Christ. He may be waiting for another country to hear the gospel and come to faith in Christ. We know that there's going to be some from every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation, and this gospel is for every nation and tribe on planet Earth. And God is waiting. He's not slack. He's just patient. Patiently waiting for people to come to him in faith. And so the first point is, he forgives all our iniquities when we come to him. He heals all our diseases. I've struggled with that point. Has he healed everybody's disease? people actually die. And that's, I guess that's the good news, is although we give up this body, we have a change of address. We go into his presence. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any sorrow in heaven? Is there any pain or suffering? And the answer is no. He does heal all our diseases. We just don't know if it's going to be here on earth. And we know that even though he raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus went on to heaven sometime later. So point number two is he heals all your disease. Who redeems your life from destruction. God is the one who makes our life meaningful. He gives different people meaningful expressions. He gives one person the ability to be a doctor, a wonderful doctor. And we know that we have a wonderful doctor in our midst. He makes somebody else and gives them the ability to be a great teacher or a compassionate nurse or a mechanic. You can work for God under the hood of somebody's car. And you can use that as a platform to witness to others around about. He has allowed us to have varying gifts and abilities. Some have art ability, and some just don't. I won't tell you who doesn't. Anyway, all of those things are gifts given to us. But he makes our life meaningful if we allow him to use the talents and gifts that he's given to us to use for him. Every one of us really is a missionary, you know. We can be a missionary into Canada, or we can go across the sea. Going across the sea doesn't make us a missionary. Having God's message of salvation, however, does. And so we have these three things. He forgives our sins. He heals our diseases. He makes our life meaningful. Those people who are on Skid Row do not often have a meaningful existence. That doesn't mean that there aren't some down there that do. And then finally, it says, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then at the bottom of the list is our Thanksgiving celebration. It says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Have you ever been on Vancouver Island and watched the eagles? We had a tree that we had to go in by to Qualcomm Beach. And on that tree, just before the salmon became running and going up the river, there would be 100 eagles sitting in one tree waiting for them. And it was so interesting to watch the eagles without effort and without moving their wings would go up and vanish out of sight. He renews your youth like the eagles. He gives us strength from the food which he provides in this Thanksgiving celebration of remembering that it is him who brings forth food from the earth. So bless the Lord. Where? From my innermost being. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not to read the detail of this insurance assurance plan. Forget not all, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This, you read the benefits plan, right? And then it says, who forgives all your iniquities. And then we go to the detail in this psalm. In verse 12 it says, as far as the east is from the west. Have you ever flown in an airplane? And just, you're flying west. You're flying to India West. You're flying from India to New York West. You just keep flying west. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed your transgressions from you. Just remember, as you're flying away, your sins are going in the other direction. God has forgiven us our sins as far as the east is from the west. Is that good news or what? Is that good news? Yes, it is. So that's part of the detail given from point number one in your life insurance plan from Psalm number one. And we can go through each of the benefits in the context, and we find that there are many. In verse 17, it says, as far as man, his days are like grass. You ever see any grass? It looks nice and green in the spring, and by fall, it's what? It's gut. What does grass look like in the fall? It's dead, isn't it? Yeah. That's what really happens to most people. Those that don't know the Lord, as far as man is concerned, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. There are graves that are lost and gone, but God knows where they are. And in verse 17, it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to them that fear Him, and to and His righteousness unto children's children. Have any kids? Here's a promise that God is going to say, stay faithful to your children, to the next generation. And in Awana, we just learned about, for how many generations, Ken? 1,000 generations. We don't even know if there's been 1,000 generations. But yeah, there probably has been 1,000 generations on planet Earth. So He's going to be faithful to all generations, even to those that are following. And when you have little ones, like the little baby in the back, we know that God's going to be faithful to that generation too. And another thing is, I can't believe that as being 80, I think I'm coming to the end of my generation. And that's good news, isn't it? Good news for me. I hope. Anyway, God is faithful. It says that. He shows mercy to every generation. Then it says, the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. You can count on it. His kingdom still rules over every nation under the sun. God has not abdicated the throne of His kingdom. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength. How strong are they? Well, there was a time when I think it was Hezekiah called out for God's help because he had the Syrian army all around the city of Jerusalem, and God sent one angel, and I believe that one angel took care of 186,000 soldiers that night. And Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, went home. He said he'd be back, but you know what? He never came back. He never fired one arrow, just like God said He wouldn't. So God is faithful, and His angels are powerful. And His angels are those that are our guardian angels, as Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13 says. Are they not ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation? Are you an heir of salvation? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you feel your need of protection because you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, you need to come to him. It's the only safe place to be. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Then it says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his domain. Bless the Lord. Comes right back to you and me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I took my wife's watch from her. I didn't steal it. I took it. And I see that our time is gone. Or do we have? Yeah. We should sing some more songs of praises to the Lord on this Thanksgiving Day. Ken, Lord bless you as you come forward.